Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to continue a series that we started last week called Living Biblically. And what we're doing in this series is we're simply taking a look at what it looks like to live our lives according to the Scriptures. I think that's very important. So last week what we did is we started this series and we talked about, does anybody remember the one word that we talked about last week? Maybe this will help you out this morning. Does anybody remember the one word? Steward. Everybody say stewardship. And what we did is we illustrated by using this bucket. So stewardship, and here's what we said about stewardship, and this is in your sermon notes so you can begin to fill out the blanks here. The fundamental principle of biblical stewardship is this. We believe that God owns everything, and we illustrated that last week. God owns everything, meaning that we're all in. Everything we have, everything that we are, belongs to God. We're all in, okay? So that's why we get in the bucket, because we're all in. Everything we have, everything we own, belongs to God. And if we can get that in our hearts and our heads, that will bring amazing transformation in our lives. And not only do we own all things, that means that we are simply the managers. You and I are called to manage the things that God has given us. So we manage those things that God has given us. So we manage the things, and we also manage the people that God puts in our life. So let me ask you two questions. This is where you're going to think. You're going to get engaged in the message this morning. Number one, how are you doing managing the things that God has given you? How are you doing managing the things that God has given you? He's given you talents. He's given you time. He's given you resources. He's given you so many things. How are you doing as managing those things that God has given you? It's very important we remember that it belongs to God. And God, you call me to be a manager of the things that you have given us. That even includes what the physical things that God has given us. And we joked a little last week about the cleanliness of our vehicles. And interestingly enough, I got a lot of feedback about that. Spouses hitting each other in the side saying, clean up the car. Did you hear what Pastor Mike said? But excuse me for saying that, okay? But I do think it's important that we take care of the stuff that God has given us. Do you agree or disagree? Amen. So this is what I want you to do. This is your homework assignment. It won't work well this morning, but in the next couple weeks as you walk into the church, this is what I want to challenge you to do. Begin to look at the parking lot. Begin to look at the condition of our parking lot. Begin to look at the condition of our church sign. And I want you to give me some feedback of what you think, because how many people know our stewardship of what God has given us as a church sends a message to our community? Does that make sense to you? I think what people see when they drive by our church really sends a message. And I believe that we really need to take care of the things that God has given us. We're the managers. He owns it all. God, you've given us this building, these parking lots and everything. We need to take care of them. So how are you doing personally taking care of the things that God has given you? Number two question is this. How are you doing managing the people? How are you doing managing the people that God has placed in your life, okay? I believe that God has specifically put certain people in your life, and you're supposed to make a difference in their life for good. So how are you doing managing or being a good steward of your spouse? Are you taking good care of your spouse? How about your children? We as parents are called to be stewards of our children, managers of our children. There's a great Bible verse in Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way they should go. What's that saying? That's saying, hey, parents, you have a job as a steward. You're a manager of what I've given you. I've given you those children. They're a gift from me. Now you have the responsibility now to train them up in the way they should go. And the promise is when they get old, they won't depart from it. So it's all about stewardship. How are you doing as far as stewarding? Maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a coach. God has placed those people in your sphere of influence, and you need to be a good steward. How about your friendships? Are you being a good steward of your friendships? I was on Heather's Instagram account a few weeks ago looking at it, and there was this beautiful post that I actually took a picture of, and I think it fits so well. Someone said, if you're going to be friends with me, you have to expect me to pull greatness out of your life. Friends don't allow friends to live beneath their purpose. See, that's somebody that understands stewardship, meaning God has placed you in my life, and because God has placed you in my life, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to share the love of Jesus. I'm going to bring out the best in you. How many people want a good friend like that? Amen? Most of us, okay? So this whole thing about stewarding the people that God has placed in our life is a big, big deal. It's a big deal, okay? It's very important. So, and this is why I say this, and my notes are all out of luck. So look at your neighbor real quick and say, he needs to get his act together. Okay, thank you. I got my act together. I'm back. Okay. So here's the deal. I thought we were going to move on to a different sermon this week. Remember I told you come next week that it's going to be this great illustrative sermon? Does anybody remember that? Hopefully nobody came for that reason. Because that's going to be next week, okay? But here's the deal. As I was praying this week and just kind of laying my heart before the Lord, I felt like God saying, you need to camp out on this issue of stewardship one more week. I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And this is what I feel like God wants me to talk about this morning. And that is that we are all called to be stewards of the people that God has placed in our lives. And what that means to me, as the pastor of this great church, it's my job to help you. It's my responsibility to help you on your spiritual journey. It's my job to make sure that you're growing spiritually. Does that mean I have to do it all? No. You have a responsibility individually for your spiritual journey. But I believe as a pastor, we're called to shepherd, to take responsibility of the people that God has placed in our care. It's very, very important. Because here's the deal. When you say yes to Jesus, and I hope you've said yes to Jesus sometime in your life, John chapter 3 says at that moment you become, it's called a born-again experience. You're born again. You were dead spiritually. Now you're alive. You're born again spiritually. How many people know when you're born again spiritually, you're born as a baby? You're a baby. And how many people know we don't want babies to stay babies? Has anybody ever had a baby? Man, I want them to stay a baby. No, hope not. The object is let's grow them up and let's kick them out. You know what I mean? And we're getting closer and closer, and it's exciting anyway. So the same thing is true about us spiritually. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to grow up. He wants us to be able to contribute to the kingdom. He wants you to be able to make a difference. And one of my responsibilities as the pastor is to make sure that you are growing up. And I need to assist in that process, but I also want to make it clear that you have a big part to play. So what I want to do is I want to look at a Bible passage that talks about this need to grow up. And it's in your notes or it's on the screen, and it's covered in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 about growing up. So everybody look at your neighbor real quick. Let's take a break. Say, grow up. Wow, that was weak. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to grow up. Say, I need to grow up. Okay. That one wasn't as easy. I need to grow up. It's easy to tell other people, you need to grow up, but me, okay. Here we go. Great passage. Paul's talking about how we need to grow up spiritually. Great passage. This is going to help us a lot. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, we're going to read it. He says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Let me stop and say this. Paul is writing to Christians who live in the city of Ephesus, and he's writing them a letter. And he says, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, and these gifts come in the form of positions, people. He says, in the church, there's the gift of apostles, there's the gift of prophets, there's the gift of the evangelist, and there's the gift of the pastor and the teacher. How many people have seen that verse before? So you're kind of with me. So there's these gifts that God gave to the church, these people that God gave to the church. So I would most certainly fall into that category of a pastor. A pastor is a gift. Did everybody hear that? A pastor is a gift. And everybody say, amen. A pastor is a gift that God gives to the church. Listen to this. This is so cool. Verse 12. Their responsibility. My responsibility is to do what? To equip God's people. Everybody say, that's me. That's me. So the responsibility of the pastor is to equip God's people to do what? To do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So if the church is working properly, this is what it should look like. The pastor should be helping the people who we would call God's people. Why? So that you can ultimately grow up to the point where you can go out and do God's work. See, everybody's thinking, no, that's your job, Pastor Mike. You do God's work. How many people know that's not God's plan? God's plan is we all do God's work. Isn't that a big difference? We all do God's work. So this is what it looks like in my eye. Say you're an electrician, and you're going and you're working in the house day after day as an electrician, and finally the owner of the house comes up and says, hey, man, my life is a mess. And they begin to spill out all the different things that are going wrong in their marriage, maybe with their children, maybe with their health, maybe with their finances. And you're there thinking, man, I sure wish Pastor Mike was here. He could talk to them. Maybe he could pray for them. How many people know that's not God's will? How many people know God's will is that ultimately each one of us grows up enough so that you can say, hey, I want to share Jesus with you. Hey, I want to be the one to pray for you. See, the idea is there's going to be a lot of people on our planet that never walk into a church. But I want to let you know, you're all going to walk into different occupations, different places, schools, workplaces. And here's the deal. God wants you to grow up to the point where he can use you to make a difference. Is everybody buying into this? Say, you betcha. I'm serious here this morning. My ultimate goal is not another sermon. My ultimate goal is not to grow this church. My ultimate goal is to equip you so that you can go out these doors and you can make a difference. You can touch people's lives, because there's going to be people who will always say no to church. I don't want to go into church, but you're going to be the one to make the difference. That's why you need to grow up. That's why you need to grow up so that you can be effective outside the walls of this church. And Paul says this will continue until we all come to the same such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, and we will be mature. Everybody say mature. God wants you to be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. Paul's saying, hey, we need to grow up. We should no longer be immature children in the faith, spiritually. He goes on to say, you won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. You will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. By the way, that's happening throughout our culture. People are telling us how we should behave. That's another reason why you need to grow up. So when you grow up, you know how to distinguish the truth from a lie. Verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love. Look at this line, growing in every way more and more like Christ. I want to read that again. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts, everybody say the word together, grow. So the whole body is what? Healthy and growing and full of love. So here's the deal. You may not know this, but God's objective for each and every one of us is not to stay infants in the faith, not to stay and remain immature babies in the faith. The objective of kingdom people is that you're growing up, growing to the point where you're making a difference, growing to the point where you can stand up against false teaching, false doctrines, false things that come your way. You'll be able to stand. Why? Because now you're no longer an infant, but you're growing up, okay? Is this making sense? Everybody, please help me out. Say, I hope no one said no. Start all over, okay? But here's the deal. In order to grow, you need to be intentional. I know we hate to repeat words here, but can you just say that at least to yourself, intentional? Just say that. I need to be intentional. Meaning this, if you're going to grow, you're going to need a growth plan. You're going to have to have a plan on how you're going to go about this. Because here's the reality. There are certain things that John Maxwell says, he calls them growth gaps. Growth gaps. And what I call them is misconceptions about spiritual growth. I want to share three of them quickly. Misconceptions about growth. First of all, there's the assumption gap. This is in your notes, the assumption gap. This is the assumption that I assume that I will grow automatically. See, there's a lot of people just because they think they grew automatically as a kid, meaning they got older, they got stronger, they got wiser. That was the natural progression in the physical realm. They think the same is true spiritually. And I want to let you know, you don't just grow spiritually because you get older. That's a good point. You don't grow spiritually just because you get older. That's why I put, actually, if you want to back up into our notes, it says, the warning is that we grow old, but we don't grow up. The warning is that we don't grow old only, but we grow up. We need to be growing up. Every one of us needs to be growing up. And there's the assumption that just because I've been in church all my life, just because I've been a Christian since 1957, then I'm just we just assume we're getting more spiritually mature, but the case is not, that's not the case. That's why I see it all the time. I see young people who've only been serving the Lord maybe 2 or 3 years, and they're light years ahead of people who have been in church for 40 years. Why? Because the assumption can't be, it's automatic. You got to be intentional. You got to get in the game. There's certain things you got to do to grow. And that's why I love our culture today. We're seeing young people, 15, 16, 20 years old, that are on fire for God. Why? Because they're not just assuming that just because time will take care of this. No, they're engaged in a growth plan. Okay, another assumption is the inspiration gap. A lot of people say this, I just don't feel like doing what it takes to grow. Because if you're going to grow, it's going to take time and it's going to take effort. There's going to be sweat equity. It's going to take a lot of work, okay? And you say, well, why would I want to grow? Why would I want to grow anyway? And the reason why you want to grow, because when you grow spiritually, it makes a difference in your life. I want everybody to hear that again. When you grow spiritually, it impacts every area of your life. It impacts how you spend your time. It impacts your relationship. It impacts your finances. So we need to be inspired that saying, hey, I want to grow. I want to put the time into it. And I know there's a lot of people that you were at a point in your life where you said, I tried that, it didn't work. I tried reading my Bible for a week, it didn't work. Well, hello, it takes more than a week. Here's my challenge to each and every one of us here this morning. Would you take the next 12 months? Would you take the next 12 months to say, you know what? I'm going to give it everything I have. I'm going to be all in. I'm going to be intentional about my growth. And I tell you what, at the end of a year, you're going to be amazed the difference that your spiritual growth will make in every area of your life. It's the best thing out there. And I want to challenge you today. Well, there'll be some people who say yes for the next year. For the next year, I'm all in. I'm going to give it everything I have. So there's the inspiration gap. And then the third gap is the knowledge gap. Because there's people who say, you know what? I just don't know how to grow. I want to grow, but I just don't know how to grow. And you say, well, why is that? Well, because I believe most churches don't teach us the basics. See, most churches, we want to focus on how many people showed up last week. How many did this? How many did that? All these different things we try to indicate of success in the church. But my thought is, why don't we make the success, are people growing? Are we helping people to grow? Are we teaching them the basics, okay? So my thought here is, don't let the lack of knowledge to keep you from growing. So this is what we're going to do in the next few minutes, is I'm going to give you some basic practical ideas of how you can grow. How you can grow. And I hope you're ready to just take notes for just the next few minutes of things we can do to help each other grow, to help you grow as an individual, okay? Number one, and these are in your notes. First of all, you have to make a commitment. Everybody say commitment. Everybody together, 1, 2, 3. Commitment. You got to make a commitment to grow spiritually. How many people know if I want to lose weight? How many people know I need to make a commitment? I got to commit that I'm going to eat right. I'm probably not going to eat snacks. Like I love, how many people love snacks? How many people are sugarholics? Come on now. I'm in a good crowd here this morning. But if we're going to lose weight, there's a plan. We got to eat right. We got to exercise. How many people love to exercise? Well, I do too. It feels good, doesn't it? But what I'm saying is, if you're going to do it, you got to have a committed plan. The same thing is true spiritually. If you're going to grow spiritually, you got to be committed. I mean, you got to be all in. Skin in the game. I'm all in. I'm committed to do this. I would really challenge people today to say, I'm going to take the next 12 months of my life and I'm going to be committed to growth and I'm going to see what happens in my life. And I guarantee you, it will be the difference of night and day what God does in your life when you begin to grow. But it all starts with, am I committed to this? Am I going to be committed when I don't feel like it anymore? When I want to sleep in, am I going to be committed? When no one else is doing it, am I going to stay committed? You got to be committed. Number two, Oh man, I forgot my prop. My bad. But anyway, number two is this. Here's the problem. How many people have basically been going to church all your life? Most of us. We've heard number two all of our lives in church. But it's one thing about hearing about it and doing it, okay? Number two, if you're going to grow spiritually, you must feed on God's word. There's no way that you can grow without feeding on God's word. Here's a question, and I want everybody to participate with this question. Everybody, please participate. How many people here, I'm just curious, how many people here eat every day? Some of you aren't raising your hands. How are you doing, man? We got spiritual people who are fasting and seeking after God. So let's try this again. How many people eat every day? Let's go a little deeper here. How many people eat multiple times a day? Okay. Why do we do that? We do that because the ultimate reason we do that is because we need physical nourishment. If we're going to continue to grow physically, we need that nourishment that food provides. And I know a lot of us, we eat for other reasons too. How many people love to eat? I do. All right. Anyway, so here's the deal. Just as food is important to your physical existence, the Word of God is so essential to your soul. Are you hearing me this morning? We wouldn't for one moment think that I can make it one day without food. And by the way, you can. Okay. By the way, somebody said, we don't have snacks this morning. I said, we'll make it. Is anybody shaking yet? We're going to make it, okay? But anyway, why don't we relate that to our soul? If we're going to grow spiritually, we need spiritual nourishment. Look what Jesus says. He's in the wilderness. He's being tempted by the devil. And this is where we get this verse, Matthew 4:4. Jesus says, hey, people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is saying, hey, this is spiritual nourishment from the word. Folks, if we're going to continue to grow, you're going to need spiritual nourishment. You're going to need a Bible reading program, okay? And I think a lot of people think, there he goes again. He's being legalistic. He's telling us we need to read the Bible. And you think I'm saying that because you're saying, well, if you do this, you'll gain favor with God. I'm saying it because if you're going to grow spiritually, this really comes down to the fact that you need to be in God's word. Are you getting me this morning? So here's my objective today as your pastor is I know there's a lot of people that need help. And simply what I want to do is provide one way to get into God's word. I have found this in my life to be the most effective, easy way to get into God's word, okay? So you're going to pick a Bible passage. So there's some people say, well, I don't even know where to begin reading the Bible. I've never tried this before. I would suggest one of the Gospels. I love the Gospels. They're the narrative of the life of Jesus. Great place to start in reading your Bible is in the Gospels. And some people will say, well, how many chapters do I need to read a day? As though there's a certain amount of chapters that are going to give you greater acceptance. I say some people, you could probably stand to read less than a chapter a day. Less than a chapter a day. Maybe you just take a portion, a paragraph. If you look at your Bible, a lot of times you'll see that they're broken up into headings. What if you would just start with one heading, one topic where Jesus is talking in the Gospels, and you use this method, and this is the method I want to introduce you to this morning. And the method I want to introduce you to, let's go to the next slide, is a method called SOAP. Has anybody ever heard of SOAP? Now, I'm not talking about in the shower, okay? I'm talking about SOAP, how you study the Bible. So let's break this down, SOAP. This is what SOAP looks like. You have your Bible passage, and S in SOAP stands for Scripture. You know the Scripture, and now what you do is you take your time. Everybody say, take your time. It's not a speed reading course. Well, I read my Bible today, but I didn't get anything out of it. I've done that, okay? So I think we all have. But Scripture is you take your time reading Scripture, and check this out. You allow God to speak to you. How many people know God speaks to people? Amen? And I have found out there's not many times that I pick up the Bible and I without knowing that God's saying something to me through the Word. So the first thing you're going to do is find out what you're going to read, take your time to read it, and then you're going to say, God, what do you want to say to me? Speak to me through your Word. O stands for observation, and that is this. What do you think God is saying to you in this Scripture? You've got your Bible open, God's speaking, you're saying, okay, God, what are you saying to me? Don't try to apply it to your spouse thinking, man, I wish they would have read this morning. Or I know somebody that really needs. No, what is God saying to you? It's personal. You. God wants to speak to you. A stands for application. Ask yourself this question. How can I apply this scripture to my life today? Right now. How am I going to be able to apply this scripture to my life today? And I guarantee you, I believe you'll have the opportunity in that day to apply the scripture you read that morning. P is prayer. Communicate with God and ask him to help you apply this to your life. Communicate this with God and say, God, help me to apply this to my life. So what we're going to do today, and I've got a good idea what time it is, I want you to take the other piece of paper that Greg handed out to you. Does everybody have that? Greg, is there any more? I actually need one myself. Please, there's people in the back. Joni needs one. This is kind of a workshop today. Kind of cool how this worked out. My friend in the back needs a scripture. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to read the passage. Actually, I'm going to have somebody else. Jenny in the back needs one. By the way, is there anybody that's comfortable reading publicly? Jeremiah, would you come up by me real quick? Jeremiah is going to read the passage. And what I want you to do, after he reads the passage, we're going to walk through the SOAP application. So Jeremiah, nice and loud, can you read this passage to us? Everybody following along.
Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude as Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross.
Thank you, Jeremiah. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take about two or three minutes in quietness. I want you to begin. And I want you to look at the passage because I believe that you have it. If you have a pen, a highlighter, I want you to begin to go through, and we'll do this together. Scripture. We read the scripture, Philippians 2. Now you're going to take your time to read the scripture and allow God to speak to you. So look at that real quick. Is there anything that God's speaking to you about? And this is how we're going to do it in our workshop this morning. If you want to raise your hand this morning and you feel like there's something that God is speaking to you about in that passage, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. Let me give you 60 more seconds, and then we'll continue our classroom time. Do not panic. I will not call on anybody individually. I wouldn't embarrass anyone here today, but I just want you to... Is there anybody in the room this morning? You'd raise your hand, and I'll call on you. So if you're going to raise your hand, you need to be expected to be called on. Is there anything when you read that passage that God... It was like he spoke something to you. I hope I won't be the only one sharing this morning. Tony, Tony, why don't you stand up nice and loud and look out to this wonderful group. What did God say to you, Tony?
That I need to expect the best from others, not always judge.
Well, that's how God speaks. Anybody else? What else stuck out to you? What did God say to you? Joseph, stand up, run nice and loud, and share with us, bro.
Be humble, thinking of others is better than yourself.
Oh, my goodness. How many people know we all need to hear that? Hit your neighbor in the side and say, yeah. He said, Erlen, he looked at verse 2. Say it real loud again, Joseph.
Be humble, thinking of others better than yourself.
Actually, verse 3. Be humble. It says here, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress. How many people know we'd be a lot better off if we didn't try to impress other people? Wouldn't we? How many people think life would be a lot easier if you didn't try to impress other people? Wouldn't that be great if you didn't worry about what the neighbors were doing? to try to keep up with them or keep up with everybody else. Joseph and Tony, thank you. Anyone else? We'll give it one more person. What did God speak to you this morning? Joanne, it's nice if you could stand up and... That's right. You bet. This will be easier every time you do it. You're going to pick up that Bible. I mean, these words are going to jump out. I mean, they're going to tackle you. They're going to get all... I mean, God's going to speak to it through his word. But this is how we're going to grow. We're going to find out what God says. Okay, O is observation. What do you think God is saying to you in this scripture? And actually, these can go kind of hand in hand. What do you think God's saying to you specifically? I know when I read it, it was like thinking of others as better than yourself. When I read that, that stuck out to me. I got to think of other people better than myself. How many people know that's a pretty radical thing? Isn't this a rich passage? Let's go to A, application. Ask yourself, how can you apply this to your life today? How would you be able to apply this to your life today? Joseph, how would you be able to apply your thought to your life today? Sorry, Joseph, I said I wouldn't do that. Shame on me. You're better than me, I'm sorry. Anybody, how would you apply, anybody want to look at that passage? How would you apply that to yourself to right now? There's something in this passage that you feel like today I can begin to apply this. Today I can make this. Today I don't have to put it off. I'm going to have an opportunity. Anyone? Erlen, thank you for raising your hand. Today. Yeah. Yes. Today. We're going to do this today, Lord. After I leave my prayer time, after I leave my quiet time, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go out and live life in the world. And today, I'm going to live this out. Today, I'm going to serve somebody. Today, I'm going to be intentional about serving. I'm going to grow because I'm taking the word, and we're going to go on to three or four, and that is you're going to pray. So after you've figured out the first three, now you're going to come and you're going to pray, okay, Lord, yes, I need to think of other people as more important to me. Lord, give me the opportunity to do this today. And how many people know people are going to jump in your face that day? And you're going to be, the same things that happened yesterday are going to happen today, but today you're going to notice them. Have you noticed that? Today you're going to notice them because you have been in the Word. God's been speaking to you. And you're going to know, you're going to have an opportunity to think of somebody better than you. So, hey, let me get the door for you. Hey, let me offer you a hand. Hey, let me do this for you. Why? Because as we take the word and we use it as soap, you're going to find out there's going to be a lot of opportunities to put this into action. And here's what happens when you put the word of God into action, you're going to grow. If you do this, let's say you did this four times a week. And you went through this process four times, you'll be amazed with the growth that begins to happen in your life. Your spouse will see differences, will see changes. Your kids will see changes. The people you're in contact with will see changes. Why? Because you're not only hearing the word, you're doing what the word says. So what I want to challenge you today is my job as your pastor, as your friend, is this. We need to get into soap. We need to get into God's word. We need to apply God's word. That's how we're going to grow. God wants you to grow. Amen? Amen. Look at your name and say, are you ready to grow? Okay, let's move on. I have no idea what time it is. Number three in our notes, we're talking about how do we grow? This is so big. This is so big. Number three, we must surround ourselves with other, what do you think falls in line there? Believer. Everybody say believers. It's talking about Christian community. We need, if you're going to grow, you're going to grow in Christian community. You're going to grow when you spend time with other believers. Okay? We need others. I want you to say that to yourself. You don't need to say it out loud. Say, if I'm going to grow spiritually, I need other Christians. The sad thing is we're living in a culture now where a lot of people are saying, well, I can be a Christian and I don't need other Christians. It's becoming very popular. But I'm here to tell you today that if you're going to grow, you're going to need other believers in your life. Let's look at a verse that says a lot. Verse Hebrews. Hebrews 10:25 says this. Let us not neglect our meeting together. By the way, you have done very well this morning. You're here today. Don't let us neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage. Everybody say that word out loud. Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I'm just going to share some things that I've been observing in my life, people close to me, people in church, and that is the temptation in our busy culture is a lot of times is to cut out church from our schedule so that we can make room for everything else. And I want to let you know, in no sense of the word am I mad at people, but I just want to say this is not a good idea. It's a bad idea. We need to make sure that we're in Christian community. We're in Christian community. Okay? And here's my suggestion. If you're serious about growing spiritually, not only make Sunday morning a priority, which I think it should be, but I want you to consider getting around other Christian followers that when you get together, it's about mutual encouragement. I don't know about you, but I need other people in my life that when I get together with them, they encourage me spiritually. There's so many things, there's so many messages tugging at my life to say, don't do it God's way, do it this way. Do it the culture's way. Do it, look at what culture is doing. Follow their example. But if you're going to grow spiritually, what you need is you need other believers in your life. They're going to come around you and they're going to encourage you. They're going to encourage you, hey, keep up the walk, keep up the fight. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. Keep obeying God. Keep being a good spouse. Keep being a good parent. Come on, keep, let's go, keep going forward. Let's go, let's go, let's go. I was going to bring a rope up here and put the rope around my waist, and there's a lot of people trying to pull me this way, but I need people in my life that are going to pull me this way, meaning closer to Christ. We all need people in our life that are saying, hey, don't give up. Don't listen to what culture is saying. Let's stay true to the word. Let me ask you today, do you have Christian community in your life that's encouraging you to keep walking for Jesus? Do you have those people in your life? I think we all need people in our life, just my opinion, that are probably maybe one or two steps ahead of where we are spiritually, that are saying, come on, let's go. People that are faith builders, people who are encouraging, people who are just saying, let's, man, there's so much more we can do for God, let's do it. We need those type of people in our lives. Amen? So let me ask you, don't raise your hand, don't respond out loud. Do you have somebody that's saying, hey, I'm encouraging you, I'm going to build you up. Keep fighting in your marriage. Keep, let's go. Keep going after Jesus. This is what it's all about. We need Christian community. I can't overemphasize the need for Christian community, okay? My youth pastor years ago said these words. Next slide. I've said it 1,000 times here because I've been here for 18 years, so I don't have a lot of new material. She said this. She said, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. I heard that at a 19-year-old guy in the Air Force. She'd say, Mike, show me your friends. I'll show you your future. And how many people know there was times I didn't want to hear that from her? But how many people know I needed to hear that? And here's the thing. I used to think that was great to tell teenagers. Teenagers need to hear that. Yeah, teenagers need to hear that. Middle school students need to hear that. But I'm here today as a 54-year-old adult. Adults need to hear this. Thank you, Deborah. Adults need to hear this. Show me your friends. Show me the people that are beginning to rub off on you, the people you're allowing to influence you, and I'll tell you what, I'll show you your future. We need those people in our life that are going to take us to that next level, that next level. They're going to help us to grow spiritually. So here we go in conclusion already this morning. Have you had a good time this morning? Was it worth braving the snow? Was it worth braving the snow over there? Good. I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I want to grow spiritually? I'm not asking, do I want to go to church? Church is good. We talked about that. I'm asking, I want you to ask that question. Do I want to grow spiritually? I want to let you know, I do. I do. As 54-year-old, I still see there's so many changes that need to take place in my life. There's so many more things that God wants to do in my life. He's not done. Let me ask you again, do you want to grow? This is the part of the message that I forgot. I was going to give everybody a coin this morning when you came in. Because a coin has two sides. It has a heads and it has a tail. Same coin, different sides. And I want you to have that coin because every time I want you to ask this question, do I want to grow? I want you to remember there's really two main ingredients. God's word, Christian friends. Are there a lot of other things that we can include in this spiritual growth process? Absolutely. I could probably have a list of 20 things. Yeah, you need to get in God's presence. Yeah, you need to do this. You need to give. You need to be a cheerful giver. That's how you grow. You need to serve like Jesus served. Yes, all those things. But I want you to have that coin to remember. If you're serious about spiritual growth, there's really two biggies. Am I going to spend time in God's word? And am I going to spend time in Christian community? If we will just get those two into our lives, we're going to see spiritual growth occur that will impact every area of your life. Every area. Every area will be touched with your spiritual growth. Every area will be different because of your spiritual growth. So let's bow our heads this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Kind of a different Sunday, but I thought it was a lot of fun. Let's just pray. I believe God was here this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit's here this morning. I believe that the Holy Spirit probably spoke several different messages to everyone here this morning. It may have been one thing for Jeremiah. It may have been something totally different for Gabe. But I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Here's my question for you this morning. What's God saying to you this morning? What's God saying to you? Is there some area of your life? What's God saying to you? What's God saying to you? There's two things that God's laying on my heart as we close this morning. There's people here today and saying, you know what? Other people can do that, but I can't. Other people can grow, but I can't. I want to encourage you today that you can. That you can. And I think there's one more group. I think there's people here today saying, I just feel like I'm done. I'm done. And I feel like God wants me to say to you, God's not done with you. He never gives up on you. But he loves you. He cares for you. And he wants to take you to such a beautiful place in him. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Keep moving forward. I want you to grow, to ultimately become more and more like my son, Jesus Christ. See, that's really what our growth is all about. The objective is we want to become more and more like Jesus. So Lord, I just pray on this snowy morning in April that these words would just not just be forgotten in our minds, but they go down deep into our hearts. And that these words will be life and breath. God, I just pray that people would begin to see themselves the way that you see them. And Lord, you see a bunch of people that you want to use in your kingdom. You see a lot of people that you want to, you see every person that you want to use in your kingdom. You want to use them at home. You want to use them at school. You want to use them in the workplace. And God, for that to happen, they need to be growing. They need to be growing so they can begin to do your ministry, your work in the world that they live in. And Lord, that's when life gets exciting. When we begin to realize there's something bigger than what we do to go to work today, every day for. There's something bigger. You want to use us, God. So Lord, help us to grow in to that. Lord, help us to grow to be more like Jesus so that we can touch people that may never walk inside the doors of this church. God, use us, grow us to make a difference, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said together, amen.